Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on this Thursday. Going to be a very big day for the Atlanta Falcons. Big NFL game that a lot of Falcons fans are going to key in on tonight. When the Carolina Panthers at 6-2 take on the Pittsburgh Steelers at 5-2-1. Steelers lead the AFC North. Of course, Carolina at the moment firmly entrenched as the top wild card team in the NFC and only a game behind the New Orleans Saints. So everybody down in the swamp going to be paying attention to this game tonight. And for one night and one night only, Saints fans and Falcons fans are going to be rooting on the same side.
And one night only.
Yep.
Fans and Falcons fans are going to be rooting for the loss of the Carolina Panthers.
You betcha. Yeah, they're both going to be rooting for the same thing tonight. You know, but don't cuddle up to me too close. I mean, just because you're rooting for him, I don't want that smell near me.
Oh, you know what, John? You know what I just thought about?
What up?
This is the first night that you get to watch football with Archie and Elsie, and they can sit there on your little lap and watch the game. And
you can just pet
them and love them. And you know what I'm saying? This is the first Thursday night game that you, Archie, and Elsie will hang out together.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Your new childrens. Yeah. You got some childrens at your house now, John.
Man.
You're not an empty nester anymore.
And pick the crumbs out of his beard.
Yes. You're not an empty nester anymore.
Beard, this Rise Up Rally beard, you know, I've got a love-hate with it. I mean, because—
You like it, don't you?
Well, because I—
Is it beneficial?
I mean, I haven't
in
shaved.
In your life, is it beneficial?
What's today, the 8th? It'll be a month tomorrow.
Hey, you look all right, though. You can rock a beard, John.
It's filling in, John.
Yeah, it's filling. You all right. You all right.
That's how long it's been since the Falcons have lost a game, because it was 2 days after the Steelers debacle, and I said, I'm not shaving until the Falcons lose again, because I was so mad at what I came in after the Steelers. What happened was I came in after the Steelers game, and I had all these people throwing tweets at me saying, see, moron, Homer, Kool-Aid man.
They called you moron.
Oh, yeah. They called me every name in the book. You know, it's over. Which part of it's over do you not get? They stink. They suck. And you're out there saying they got a chance. And I'm going, look, I tell you what, I'm not. I still believe in this team. I still think that at their best, they're the best team in the NFL. And so I'm not going to shave until they lose again.
Moron kind of hurts, man. Though. Moron. Like you think about all the words that you could call somebody. Like, I've been called some names, but like moron.
Yeah,
like,
I got the moron thrown at me.
That's kind of painful.
You know. But, moron. You know, you let people tweet from prison, and Saints fans get a hold of a cell phone. Well, it's called a cell phone for a reason in their world. All right, so we have so much to get into. Let's talk about the big news today at Flowery Branch, all right? The
Bruce.
Big news, Bruce. And how about Bruce is going to be on the practice field. How about with, alongside, and next to Deion Jones? Now, if this doesn't give you reason, with the Falcons having won 3 in a row, and with their offense kind of rolling right now, and we see what they could do with Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley back at 100%, we could see what they're capable of, what they just did to the number 2 rushing defense in the NFL with Tevin Coleman, and you have Bruce Irvin and the return of Deion Jones. He won. Now neither's going to have that great an impact on the game this week, because Deion's not going to have any impact because he's ineligible yet, and we hope that he's eligible for the Dallas game. He may not be. It may be after the Dallas game too, but he is on the way back. I'm hoping he'll play against Dallas before we get the Thursday.
They'll be real cautious with him.
Yeah, they'll be cautious. And Bruce will be brought along slowly. I mean, I wouldn't expect that Bruce Irvin going to step in and play, you know, 40 snaps this week or anything ridiculous.
25.
Yeah, I can see 25.
If he goes out there and he's productive, he'd probably play more than that.
And that may be the case, too. I mean, and it's not a case where you have to give him up to game speed. Remember, Bruce played 8 games with the Oakland Raiders. He started 6 of them.
But you want to get him up to game speed with this team.
Right.
Now, you can go out there. There's certain things you can do, John. You can just go out there and play. You can just go out there and play. But, you know, especially in nickel. And that is one thing that it's going to be interesting to see how they use him this week. You know, I had a chance to, like, in passing, you know, holler at Coach Manuel. And just, you know, just gave him, you know how when you walk past somebody and you just give him that nod because, like, yeah, what's up? Because you're doing your thing. Like, it was kind of like that. Because when you talk about the way this cat has piecemealed this defense together, man, and now you get another piece to add with that, I mean, it's not going to be as hard as it was when all you had everybody go down. But, boy, he's doing a heck of a job as a defensive coordinator, no question about that.
Yeah, he is. We said this before, he is ticketed for head coach. I mean, he
I was about to say that, dude. You're talking about a cat.
Yeah, he is ticketed for a head coaching job.
I would not be surprised. If there's some people gonna inquire about him next year,
yeah, absolutely.
And Coach Quinn is gonna basically have to make a decision whether or not he's gonna let him talk or not. Like, seriously.
Well, he's not gonna get in his way because nobody got in Quinn's way in Seattle.
Well, yeah, but it's one of those things when you got a good. I mean, it's I don't see Coach Quinn being selfish, if that's what you're asking or saying. But at the same time, man, it's hard to find a good defensive coordinator. And you just got him. Like, he just got, like, just got to the point where, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's starting to roll.
But so you're going to, yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're not going to block him, though.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny a manager.
Yeah.
But that will happen. But back to this year, Hugh had a chance to talk to Grady Jarrett. We're going to get Grady's reaction in a moment. Let's begin with the coach. This is head coach Dan Quinn talking yesterday about the signing of Bruce Irvin.
You know, for us to add a pass rusher and not have to give away a draft pick in the future or a player in the future, man, this is a win-win for both sides.
Yeah, and again, Dan Quinn reunited with the guy that he coached in Seattle. Another one from Quinn talking about Bruce Irvin and the fact that Bruce chose. Now, Bruce is from Atlanta. He went to Stevenson High. He wanted to come home. There were stories and reports that the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Evil Empire up in New England had both offered him better deals than Atlanta offered him, more money. But he chose to turn down the money to come home.
That helps when you have a relationship that goes through, you know, to say, because I'm sure he's had plenty of people, you know, over the last, you know, day or so reach out to him and try to, you know, say, hey, this would be an option for you, this would be an option for you. But at the end, you know, having the chance to come to join this team in this city, he understands what we're about.
Yeah, he does understand what we're about. And we were just talking about one more from the coach about how much we'll see Bruce Irvin in Cleveland. And coach addressed that, too.
I think that'll depend a little bit on the package. We're going to try and feature him in our nickel, you know, package first. And that's really, you know, where, you know, our experience, you know, gels together. So we'll work him and Tack and Vic and that group, you know, a good bit together tomorrow and Friday and Saturday into the game plans.
Now, it probably Hugh won't come right away because they'll have to kind of figure it out. But I'm going to be very interested to see what happens if, you know, like, and I'm intrigued, would they consider putting, because Bruce Irvin is a natural right, you know, right rush edge. I mean, that's where his natural position is. And would they put him over there and flip Tack McKinley to the other side? And if so, suddenly Tack McKinley's not having to go against those great left tackles. He can go against the, you know, kind of right tackles, and that may make him much more productive.
Or you can move Tack to D-tackle and let them work stunts. You know, you could possibly do something like that.
You could do that too.
Yeah, it's one of those things, John, where, again, I can't say this enough. It's going to be interesting to see how this front four is put together this Sunday. And I know people are saying that I'm basically alluding to the fact that Vic's coming off the field. I don't know that to be the case. But it's one of those things where you're going to be taking production from somebody mm-hmm. that's been out there, that's in your front four. And I'm thinking, what, Derek Shelby's been out there in pass rush situations.
Jack Crawford.
Jack Crawford's been out there. Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley. So now with that four, that group of four that has been pretty productive in the pass rush game, who do you take off the field?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that I'm asking. And, you know, Coach made it his business to mention Vic Beasley when he talked about the pass rush. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm playing semantics a little bit. I'm not going to lie. But he mentioned Tack's name first. I mean, at the end, Vic, like, he wanted to make sure that, you know, he said Vic's name. I honestly think that however it plays out Sunday, if Bruce Irvin comes in and he does what he does naturally, then there's going to be a lot to digest after the game. I'm just going to put it like that because, again, I'm speculating here. I'm doing a lot of speculating, but it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out if it plays out like I think it could potentially play out.
All right, and of course – you also have the option, like you said, of moving Tack inside and going with what they refer to as the NASCAR package.
Yeah, but again, like I was talking to some people yesterday about this, again, who are you taking off the field?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you'd have all of them on the field. It would just be speed, 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 NASCAR.
Yeah, but somebody's coming off, John. Like somebody has – you can't have 12 people on the field.
Yeah, well, right. That would mean you wouldn't put Jack Crawford would not be in a NASCAR package.
Yeah, but Jack Crawford also gave you 2 sacks last week.
No, I know, right.
So that's what I'm saying. So,
I know.
So, you know.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it really is. You know? It really is.
I mean, you got that much in your
And then
course,
you talk about the rotational right. thing that you have going on. I just want to see how – Bruce Irvin is going to impact this pass rush, and if he does make that big of a difference this early.
Well, you said to all the fans, you being a star defensive end in your career, you have a special kind of camaraderie in the locker room of the Falcons with that defensive line, and you had a chance to talk to them yesterday about it.
Yeah, had a chance to talk to Grady Jarrett yesterday and talk about, you know, just basically, you know, how they playing right now and, you know, talk about Bruce Irvin coming to the team. Hugh Douglas from 92.9 Again, sitting here with my man Grady J. Grady, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good. Getting more healthy week by week, and just trying to we're finding our stride on the D, and we just want to keep getting better.
Speaking of that stride, man, y'all guys like y'all starting to hunt a little bit out there. What has been the biggest difference in the momentum that you guys seem to be getting right now?
Yeah, without a doubt, I feel like it's just a mindset change across the board up front. Just being some attacking style guys, and just really playing it out, but setting the tone early.
I know the big news out of on the wire. I don't know if you've been paying attention because you've been so busy grinding. But Bruce Irvin's coming to the team. What do you know about him, and what do you think he can bring to the table?
I think he can bring a lot to this team from a talent standpoint, from a personality standpoint. I feel like he's a very, very tenacious player, dog type of attitude person, and something that we definitely need on this defense.
You know, when you look at the Cleveland Browns, you know, I know they haven't won a few games, but they've been in a whole lot of games. What have you seen from that offense that might cause a little bit of problems for you this weekend?
They're extremely talented on all levels, and, you know, they just came out short on a couple games. But, I mean, that's going to be a hard-fought game. They want to do good. They know they can do good, and you just got to be ready to set the tone.
You know, it is going to be interesting to see what Bruce Irvin's impact is on this team and how many snaps he can take. But just broadly, the idea of Bruce Irvin – if we get the Bruce Irvin, again, he's 31 years old, but I still think you're going to get some of the best of Bruce Irvin this year, and the fact that he wants to be here. Hugh, I can't stress to you enough what it means to me as a fan to have Bruce Irvin say to – we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, leaders in the AFC North and all the Super Bowls they have, the New England Patriots, and, of course, you know what they are, and leaders in the AFC East. And he said, nah, I don't want that money, and I want to go home. I want to play for my team, my town, represent my city, and play with Dan Quinn again. I just think that, to me, makes me feel good. Now, he's got to produce, but I think he will, and I think there's even more incentive for Bruce to produce for the home team.
Well, yeah, and not only that, Coach knows him. He knows how to get the best out of him, and obviously Coach feels that he can, you know, put him in a position to be successful. That's the biggest thing, John, is that, you know, when you're coming home and you luckily for him, Coach Quinn is there, is that rapport. Because, you know, it's one of those things where there's no pressure there's always pressure to produce, but there's no added pressure because you're going somewhere else and they're looking at you like you're going to be the savior, like you're riding in on a white steed, you know, to help save the team. That's one of the things. You know, Bruce could come here. He has a good feel for Coach. Coach knows him, and he can just go out there, and Coach is going to get the best out of him because he knows how he plays. And he's seen something on him on film that makes Coach believe that he still has it. So that's important. It's important going somewhere where you feel comfortable and not like an outcast or anything, because he's going to come into this brotherhood, and he's going to be welcomed with open arms. And you kind of heard that in the interview that I just did with Grady Jarrett the other day.
You know, I look at Bruce Irvin coming to the team, the return of Deion Jones, hopefully next week against Dallas. That would be a good thing, and get him a little bit of playing time before that showdown on Thursday night down in the Swamp on Thanksgiving night. I look at those two, the gigantic additions those two will be to this defense going forward. I look at a defense that in the last couple of games, to say what you want, talking about the Giants and the Redskins, but you were facing two of the hottest running backs in the entire NFL in Barkley and Peterson, and you managed to corral them, that has kind of grown. I mean, here's DeMonte Casey, leads the league in interceptions. Here's the growth of Foye Oluokun. I think we've seen this defense grow through after the, you know, debacle in Pittsburgh. They've really started to, you know, coalesce, and everything's slowing down, as
you
say. You're
using them big old words. Coalesce. Give them a big old word.
I'm not going to do it. You took it from me.
All right, but you see, and then the rise of the – now, I believe this. This is what I firmly believe at 4-4, and you're not going to get me off my soapbox. If the New Orleans Saints are the number one team in the NFL, Hugh, and they are at the pinnacle right now in the ESPN Power Poll, and they just beat the Rams, the Falcons took those guys to overtime, probably should have won the game with a team that wasn't nearly as good as the Falcons team that will appear when they go down to New Orleans on Thanksgiving night. If New Orleans is the number one team in the NFL, you can't tell me the Falcons are not a contender. Sorry, not buying it.
Well, you got to look at it. I hear what you're saying, John. I don't want to be the guy with the sharp pen
today. I know you
don't,
and I'm not trying to put you in that spot.
But at the same time, the Saints aren't the same team that you saw early in the season either. Like,
because they have Ingram back, that's for starters, and now they've got Dez. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I guess I'm just saying that even if that, I look at the Rams and I look at the Falcons and I think, you know what? Beat those guys last year in Los Angeles. If we play the Rams, I'm not afraid of the Rams.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you should be afraid of anybody, but this is the time of year, John, where every team is peaking. You have to look at, even though they play preseason games, you look at, say, for instance, the Pittsburgh Steelers and their start, their rough start. Take that first game, Pittsburgh against Cleveland, the tale of two teams, mm-hmm. and how they played to a tie.
Right.
Now you see one team that looks like it's starting to take off, it's starting to hit its stride in the Pittsburgh Steelers. The other team, the same team that they went toe-to-toe with at the beginning of the season.
Fired his coach.
Thank you. And that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Just like when you say that about the Falcons, you can say the same thing about the New Orleans Saints and how well they're playing.
And that's fair enough. I just thought we started the year with what I thought was the most complete roster in the NFL. And I think we're starting to get back to that.
And you battled through a whole lot, and you're still alive. That's impressive. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we did mention Dez does that. He is down in the swamp. What does that mean for the other guys?
This Sunday is Big Sunday. It's our Falcons.
Followed by Atlanta United playoff game number 2. And it's Hawks and Lakers. All three games exclusively here.
Big Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Man, there's a lot going on right now inside the National Football League. Bruce Irvin to the Atlanta Falcons. And the Swampers make a big move, too. On a day when the Carolina Panthers play a big game tonight in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Well, Dez does that. I think that given the two moves that the Falcons got the better end of it with Bruce Irvin. But nonetheless, Dez Bryant is back in the NFL, and he chose to go to the Swamp. Drew Brees talking about the fact that Dez Bryant is now wearing a fleur-de-lis in his helmet.
You know, I don't know how much carryover there'll be from, you know, what he had in Dallas. Probably not a lot. So I think that's a process, but you bring him along. You want to put him in positions to succeed, right? You want to take the stuff that he's really good at and then integrate him into the offense accordingly.
All right, so he's been out the half the year here, Hugh. It's not like – see, Irvin's been playing. That's why I think maybe they got the better of it. How long does it incorporate Dez Bryant?
Receivers, John, it all depends on his role with the team. I don't think it's going to be that great. He's probably going to run a couple crossing routes, slants. He's going to be another option. He's going to be an option in that offense. I mean, he's a bigger receiver. I think Dez can come in and contribute. We were talking about it this morning, what? Maybe 30 catches, mm-hmm. 30 catches this year, maybe more than that. I said 800 yards, but that's kind of a lot. That's kind of a lot. I gave him 500 yards.
Remainder of the year, half the year.
Yeah. 500 yards, that's decent. I think that with their need at receiver that he's going to be a viable option. I think they're going to still play. And Drew's a good quarterback. It's going to be interesting to see how productive he could be with a quarterback like Drew Brees. Because he hasn't had a quarterback like that ever,
right,
in his NFL career.
I mean, Romo at his best wasn't bad.
No, Romo was not Drew Brees at his best.
No, but Romo is better than Dak Prescott.
It all depends
throwing the ball.
It all depends on who you talk to.
No, Romo was better than Dak.
I'm not about to give him that, John. I'm not going to give him that. I'm sorry. And Dallas Cowboy fans can call me all kind of names. I don't care. I'm not going to change my mind.
That sounds a little green and white hate going on right there.
What you talking about? maybe a little bit, but I don't care. I'm dug in on this one. I'm dug in.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
You know, and it is another weapon for Swampers to get, and we'll see how they toy around with that weapon. Now, you know, he's going to have a chance because now we talk about Carolina playing a big game this week in terms of going up against the Cincinnati Bengals on the road. Carolina going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Saints play the Cincinnati Bengals on the road. That'll be interesting because the Bengals, you know, we saw them here. The Bengals are a pretty good team.
They got they have they're another team that can put some points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
But no A.J. Green. No, A.J. Green's going to be playing.
Right, right, right.
So that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough for them. Man, I tell you, to me, this is what the NFL kind of looks like from all the top tier teams right now, John. You can pick any team that has a winning record right now, especially in the NFC. You're talking about the Rams and the Saints. It's a game of who has the ball last. I mean, really, when you look at it from a defensive standpoint, there's no defensive standouts right now in the NFL. I would venture to say that even the teams that are in the top 10, they're giving up a lot of points. Like, this is a year, it's a weird year for defenses because people are giving up a lot of points. You look at the Rams in the position they're in, only one loss this year. There have been games where they're giving up 30. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where offenses are especially offenses with teams that could stretch the field and can run the ball, they're hanging some points on folks, man. So it's one of those things where whoever has the ball last and who has the better quarterback in pressure situations and who has the better offensive personnel. That's what it's coming down to.
Three NFC South teams this week play teams from the AFC North. We mentioned, of course, the Saints taking on the Bengals. You know, the Falcons are playing the Browns. And tonight, the Panthers are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the story around the Steelers is about Le'Veon Bell. So let's talk a little bit about that, how we have the Le'Veon situation still hanging out there. He hasn't shown up yet. He has till Tuesday to show up, or he will not be allowed on the team for the remainder of the year next Tuesday. Now, he's not going to be there this week. And Mike Tomlin asked again yesterday in the news conference ahead of tonight's game about having Le'Veon not with this team.
You know, we hadn't spent a lot of time focused on it because it's not within our control. Those decisions are Le'Veon's. We need volunteers, not hostages. So we're focused on the guys that are here and working, and James is definitely in that mix.
Yeah, James Conner is. That's a really good line.
I tell you what, man.
I'm going to steal that
Coach
line.
I love Coach Tomlin for that. We need volunteers, not hostages.
That's a great coach to coach.
Yeah. I tell you what, man. You can say what you want about him, but he has some of the best, one-liners in the game.
Yeah, well, you want to know where you stand, Le'Veon? That's where you stand.
I mean, and you know what's funny? I would venture to say that the team kind of the players echo that same sentiment. You know, you talking about James Conner. He has 706 yards on the season, 9 TDs, 151 carries. Dog, they're okay, and they're winning. They're okay. I think that it's unfortunate, but the team has kind of, like, the friends that he did have on the team, they've kind of moved on from that. I mean, they're still cool with him, and, you know, they jive with him. But as far as playing, man, you know what? This is becoming.
How much
ridiculous.
Would it upset them if all of a sudden, because if he doesn't show up by next Tuesday, he out for the year now, and he loses a year of his, vesting as well. Not to mention the $14 million. Which would have made him the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL for this season that he turned down, just because I think he's being bullheaded. I personally get the fact that he's upset he didn't get a long-term contract. I'm going to tell you that I think Le'Veon Bell and his agent, what is it, Bakhtiari, are idiots, are flat stone-cold idiots.
I probably wouldn't go that route with it. I think that,
I mean, I understand that it's his personal decision, so well, let me back off that.
No, John, don't back. I'm not trying to get you to back off of it.
Maybe it's too strong a word.
Well, it's this. You look at the money that you're potentially making, and it's an idiotic move to miss out on that money. I don't have a problem with that. But what I'm saying from my perspective is this. Every player is in a situation where you got to get as much as you possibly can from this game because it's not going to last that long. But you have to balance that between playing and getting as much as you can, but understanding that this game doesn't last that long. Now, Le'Veon Bell has put himself in a position where he's hurt his pocketbook because he's not going to get the money that he could have made this year, and he's also running the risk of being tagged again next year.
Yeah, I wondered about that, too. I mean, if the Steelers wanted to be petty, they could tag him again next year.
Yes, and they are going to be petty.
And he would make under $10 million next year, which would be, you know, a big drop-off from the $14 million it would have made this year. But I'm not sure that the Steelers would. If they wanted to be petty. Well, because at this point, I don't know that I want him back on my team. It's not the Steelers' call, but I think were the Steelers' call, I think they would tell Le'Veon, we do not want you back because we've got James Conner and we have moved on.
Well, that's one move you can make, but John, Like, this is the way I look at it. No matter what you do, you're not gonna make. You're not gonna recoup that $14 million that you missed. I tag him again for $10 million, and you know how he's going to play it out. But if he and this is me being petty, I'll admit that. Okay, say I tag him again, and he decides to come in. He signs a tender. He's coming in behind James Conner.
Well, not only that, but he is just admitted losing badly. Yeah, he will have lost.
But then you're
face.
Talking about
he will have lost $14 million.
But then you're talking about.
But how can he show
year.
His face in the locker room again? I mean, seriously, how can he if he does that?
He can do that. He can show his face. Now there might be some guys that he's probably closer with than others that they'll probably say something to him, but. He could show his face in that locker room.
Yeah, but you're going to end up with a locker room that's divided. You're going to have a Le'Veon locker room and a James Conner locker room.
No, you're not, because James Conner is my starting running back. Like, that's not – like, listen, if it's me, if I'm running an organization, he can come back. I'm going to give him his money, and I know sounds crazy because you're not going to have $10 million sitting on the bench. You're not. You're not going to have $10 million sitting on the bench. But my point is this. He coming into camp, and James Conner's the starting running back. He's going to have to work his way back into that lineup. Now, eventually, I'm going to probably have to put him out there on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be begrudgingly because I'm petty. And that's how I'm going to play it. That's how I would play it. But, yeah, I would definitely take him back. And you're talking about another year. You're another year older.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with running backs, your skills tend to diminish quickly.
Unless apparently you're Adrian Peterson, yes.
Well, no, Adrian found the right situation for him. Mm-hmm. He found the right situation for him.
Did the Falcons expose him a little bit?
Well, that's what I'm about to say, John. And to be honest, when Falcons bared down and they got after him, it was a different game. He looked kind of like the running back that he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, and the fact that Washington's offensive line is decimated with injuries.
Well, there's that too.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, you know, it's a little bit of all of that.
A little bit of all of that. Again, Carolina and Pittsburgh, intriguing game. Tonight in Pittsburgh, our coverage begins at 8 live on Sports Radio 92.9. The game kick at 8:20 tonight. Panthers and Steelers, go Steelers, go. Let's make this more interesting. The Atlanta Hawks play the New York Knicks. What happened last night? Where do the Hawks stand now? And 11 games in, are we already talking about Zion Williamson? Because I wonder if we aren't. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not giving up on the season for the Atlanta Hawks, but I'm going to stay, kind of where I am right now. They're 3-8. They lost to the Knicks last night, 112-107. And there are going to be some fun things going on. It is a fun team. Torian Prince was back last night. Can't wait for John Collins to return, Hugh. We see Trae Young, Jeremy Lin's playing pretty good basketball. Jeremy Lin, by the way, even though they lost last night, Jeremy Lin's a lot of fun to watch play.
Yeah, you know, he's really just now getting healthy from that. I think it was his Achilles. Wasn't his Achilles AT that he hurt? It was an Achilles injury, I think it was, that he's coming back from. So, yeah, he's starting to come around a little bit.
You know, so there are a lot to recommend the team. And, again, I always want to tell you that even if this is going to be a long year, and it's going to be a long year for the Atlanta Hawks, you want to be Hawks cool before the Hawks are cool, because I think that with the new owner, Tony Ressler, and with Jamie Gertz, his wife, and with Travis Schlenk, with Lloyd Pearson, with the new stadium, and with some of the young players that they have, the Hawks are putting themselves in a position where finally the team kind of got to a point where a base that they could build from, Hugh, and they're going to be trending up over the next few years. Now, how long that takes, I don't know. I can tell you this, if the first results from one college basketball game are enough to make everybody believe, there are people in the NBA. Well, Steve Kerr came out and basically said that Zion Williamson is LeBron. That's what he said.
They were making comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
They were making comparisons to his athleticism, just the way that he's dominant on the court. I've said this, and I think I don't know if I said it on air, but I definitely said it in the bullpen. Just looks alone, to me, he reminds me of Larry Johnson. He reminds me of Larry Johnson. He played for UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
And
Grandmama.
Yeah, Grandmama. So it's like that's who he reminds me of, just like physically, like his specimen. The way he's able to move and everything. What does they say? He's like, is it 280 pounds? Is 280 pounds and able to move like that? That's phenomenal.
And to jump like that?
Yes, that's phenomenal.
I mean, he is like an all-star slam dunk champion waiting.
Yeah, he is. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But just the the specimen that he is and his ability to move, I can see the comparison to LeBron James, because LeBron James at one point, because he's gotten a little smaller now, but he was one of the biggest guys and one of the bigger guys, one of the stronger guys in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's definitely one of those guys. He's a freak of nature.
Well, if he's a LeBron, if he's a Barkley, if he's that guy, then you want to be in that lottery and take your chances with ping pong balls. That's all I'm saying. And by the way, this is not to downplay that there are scouts who believe that R.J. Barrett, the other guy on Duke, is actually going to be the better player of the two. That Barrett may actually be the number one pick. And Barrett had 33 in the win over Kentucky, and Williamson had 28. It's just that Williamson has all of those other things that you like. Look, R.J. Barrett may be a superstar in the NBA too, so you may not go wrong. Cam Reddish, the other guy, Duke, is also really good. I mean, that team,
They got some good. They got some good cats on
that
squad.
I just looked it up. They play against Sunday in their second game against Army, and I feel so bad for Army. That is not going to be – and they're playing Army because, if you don't know, Mike Krzyzewski was a coach at Army. He came up through that. Bob Knight and Mike Krzyzewski were on the same staff at Army, so this is a feint to his old ties. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, poor Army. That's going to be – now, they do play some interesting games coming up.
You said poor Army. Okay.
They play San Diego State, which was a tournament team last year. Go Aztecs, go. They play Indiana with Romeo Langford. That could be, you know. But at this point, you wonder, is Duke to college basketball, Hugh, what Alabama is to college football, what Golden State is to the NBA? Are they that team this year? Are they that team? Maybe. I mean.
As far as talent goes, a lot of people would tend to think so. Right now, John, it looks like that's the case. It looks like just looking at the college landscape and just trying to think off the top of my head. They'll probably be the class, especially since they handle Kentucky the way that they handle them.
Yeah, and we don't know yet just how good Kentucky is. I mean, is Kentucky the number two team in the nation, which was what they were said to be? I think they're going to be extremely good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, and plus it's still early, and you know, teams are still trying to gel together. I still think that, you know, you still got to take a veteran team that's been together for a long time that could probably give them a go. And
like a Kansas.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say that. Just like a team like that. I think that is the biggest advantage that a team like that would have.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as you know, like when you have young guys, it still takes – like they have all the talent in the world. But if you have a well-coached team that has an older group of guys that have played together for a little while,
mm-hmm.
they can give them a go.
Right. They can slice and dice you a little bit. Especially on the offensive end where they can, kind of run you around. But, you know, from an athletic standpoint, it is that's what right now – because, see, there's a problem with the Hawks, and we haven't really much touched on it. Theoretically, they have three lottery picks next year, okay? But problem is that two of those are protected, okay? So Cleveland is protected 1-2, right? Help me out, AT. Cleveland's protected 1-5, is that right?
I believe that's correct.
And Dallas is protected 1-10, which means if Dallas has a pick in the top 10, then we don't get it. If Cleveland has a pick in the top 5, then we don't get it. And the problem with that is right now Cleveland's got the number 1 pick because Cleveland's 1-10. And that team looks like it is in disarray. And if you told me that Cleveland was going to, at 1-10, that they brought in Larry Drew with specific instructions from, Quicken Loans to tank this season to get Zion Williamson, if that conversation happened already, that would not surprise me, Hugh. You may see a couple of teams make a run at the bottom trying to get more ping pong balls.
Right now, he looks like he could potentially be a franchise changer. There's no question about that, but it's too much. It's too much luck of the draw for me in the NBA. It's nothing's guaranteed.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, only thing you're guaranteeing is you'll have more ping pong balls in the ping pong ball machine. That's about it. That's not guaranteed. That does not guarantee you the number one pick overall.
No, it doesn't. I mean, if you end up with the most chances, the worst you could be is number four. But number four is not number one.
Yeah, and he's gone.
And he's gone. You know, by the time you want to pick, he long gone because he. You know, so it'll be really interesting to see how this works out. Hawks, though, fall to the Knicks. And again, you know, now we see their game against Detroit coming up. It's going to be Harry the Hawk bobblehead night and all that kind of stuff coming up tomorrow night. So, I mean, a lot of fun. You know, let's see if they can't get them a win against the Pistons, get a win at home, and take your wins where you can get them and your success. You know.
And tomorrow night they will feature a different uniform and court. signifying the 50 seasons in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty cool uniform.
I'll tweet that here in a second.
All right. And I'll retweet it as well, and you can follow us. We'll shoot that out. That's for the Pistons game tomorrow night between the Pistons and Hawks. Of course, full coverage on Sports Radio 92.9, the game beginning at 7. All right, college football knocking on the door. Weekend begins tonight. Which top 10 team is poised to be upset this week? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.